So we said we're looking at the topic, moving forward, priorities. Last week, we looked at moving forward. We looked at the first part. And we said that, look, as a church, as a people, as believers, God wants us to move forward. In fact, the word for us this year is God doing a new thing in our lives as a church. And I believe in the life of everyone. But we said, as we move forward, or as we attempt to move forward, there are a number of things that are subtle that can almost create a detour in our lives. And these little things just, you know, they create a detour in such a way that 1 month passes, 2 months pass, and by the end of the year, that individual who has been distracted from the priorities that God has set for him or for her doesn't achieve any of the plans that God has for them in a very subtle way. Now, last week we looked at, we looked at how Pharaoh tried to change the priorities of the children of Israel so that they would be kind of like disfocused from what God was actually leading them to do. This week we're carrying on with the moving forward series, the priorities one. And the topic that we're looking at today under that is idolatry. Idolatry. Now, what is idolatry? In the short clip that we saw there, we saw that the children of Israel created an idol for themselves. They made a golden calf. They threw in all, they brought all the gold that they had, and Aaron did he created a golden calf. And they were bowing down to that calf. It's like, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt and all that. So for them, that was idolatry. And you might be sitting here and you're like, Pastor B, please, can you tell us something else? Because there's no way in this world I'm going to bow to any kind of graven image. That's for those folks in the forest somewhere, or those folks that do whatever they do. That has nothing to do with me. Really? Really? That's the question I ask, really. So why am I saying really? So what really is idolatry? What is idolatry? Dictionary definition, and I've just, you know, put this in here. Now, idolatry is putting anything in the place that God should take in your life. That's the simple definition of idolatry. So for some people, like the movie clip that we saw, that could be in form of bowing down to a physical idol. So in that place, that's idolatry. They were putting that golden calf in the place of God. So that's idolatry. Putting anything in the place of God. Let me take it a step further about idolatry. Do you know that it's not necessarily putting something bad in the place of God? It could be good. It could be good. You can put your aspirations, maybe good, in the position of God. You can put your career, you can put your children, you can put the daily things you want to achieve in life in God's place. So what happens is, in the context of idolatry, whatever it is you put in God's place takes priority. Takes priority. Now, it can be subtle, and sometimes it can be very obvious, like we've seen in the movie clip that we saw now. So basically, idolatry is this. When we begin to prioritize anything, even if that thing is a good thing, before God. At that point in time, it becomes idolatry. Now, if I read Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3, God told Ezekiel something, and I think this is where it gets a bit, it moves away from the physical idolatry. God says something in Ezekiel 14, verse 3. He says, "Son of man, These men have set up idols in their heart and put stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? So you had these people who were very zealous. They would come to the temple. They would come to church in those days and they're like, man, we want to know God. We want to know God. We want to know God's word. We want to participate. You know, we're all in. And as they came to the temple and to the priest was probably happy. Oh, Pastor B is like, not this church. I'm just saying, I'm using it as an example. Oh, man, like, man, these people are on fire for God. My church, the church I pastor, the best church these guys are. And they would come to church. And God was looking at them. He was looking at them, looking at their pastor, Ezekiel. Ezekiel was like, God, man, I'm praying for these folks. I'm going to pray. I'm praying that, you know, they're going to move forward. I'm praying that God is going to do something. And God was looking at him by the side like this. Then God called them aside and said, Ezekiel, there's something I need to tell you about these folks. They are distracted. They have allowed idolatry into their lives. And Ezekiel will be like, what? I don't think so. They're not bowing before any God. I mean, I know the Old Testament. I know these people that, you know, do all these graven images, but not these people. And God said, really? He goes a step further. And now says they've set up idols in their heart. Invisible to God, invisible to everyone around. Probably not even visible to them. But God said, these folks have set up idols in their heart. Should I allow them inquire of me? So God was saying to Ezekiel here that, look, idolatry can creep into the heart of any individual. Because it's subtle. So how does this happen? How does this really happen? Three things I picked up from the story of Moses and the children of Israel. But before I just make the point here, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 9. Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 9. It's quite a long read. Just follow me. And Exodus chapter 32, 1 to 9, it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Verse 2, Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings from that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings, brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed to him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Verse 5, Aaron saw this. He built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day, the people rose early, sacrificed burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink, and they indulged in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people whom you brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. So Moses is up praying on behalf of the people. He leaves them. He says, look, guys, girls, I'm coming back. I'm going to seek God so that we know where we're going. Moses leaves them with Aaron, his brother, and he's with God He stays there for 40 days and 40 nights. At one point, these guys are like, this Moses guy, where is he? Has he traveled to Dubai? When is he coming back? I mean, he said he didn't, you know, and they're like, look, what's happening to this? I mean, what's really happening here? Then they turned and they started doing what it was that they were doing. So the question is this, how did this happen? How did the children of Israel get there? How do we get to the place where we prioritize things that should be in place of God? We prioritize some of those things in our lives above God. How do you get there? How do I get there? Do you know that even as a minister, you can prioritize your ministry before God? That means as a pastor, I can become so impassioned, say, we must really break ground in this ministry. Sorry, if this is your first time in this church, you have to excuse me. Sometimes I will mimic my American brothers. So just bear with me. I'm like, this ministry must hit boundaries. We must expand to conquer and, you know, win the thing for God. And all I'm thinking about in my brain is all that. In the evening when I'm about to pray, that's all I'm praying about. And God says, you know, Pastor, you know, why don't you let me have a conversation with you? Oh, God, but I need to concentrate on the ministry. And I'm praying, 10 hours, 12 hours. And God looks at that individual and says, this ministry thing has become an idol. It has taken my place. Do you understand? So, idolatry doesn't have to be doing a bad thing. It could be something that's praiseworthy. But the minute it begins to take God's place, the minute we begin to prioritize that thing before God, before our relationship with God, then it has become an idol to that individual. So how do we often get there? A number of points. The first thing is this. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 that we saw, or that we read earlier, they said, this Moses, where is he? We don't know where he is. So the first thing we note is that for these individuals, they didn't have a real relationship with God. They didn't have a really personal relationship with God. If you look at Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, he made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. So the first thing is this, we need to be really careful as believers and as Christians that we are not dealing with God on what I would call a transactional basis. God, if you answer my prayer, I'll do this for you. Oh, we haven't seen you in church in a bit. I'm not coming anymore. We pray. God hasn't answered my prayers. I've been praying about this thing. I'm not interested. Right? So it's like saying, let me give us an example. A son or a daughter comes to their dad. I don't know, maybe they're like 10 years old, right? And the son comes to his father and he says, Dad, I would like you to buy for Easter, I would like an Xbox. Oh man, I like those games where they do all those things. And for Christmas, I grinning, you guys want Xbox or something? For Christmas, I want a PS9. Well, are you saying there's no PS9? You see. Yes. PS9, that's what I want. And maybe the dad wants to give him that thing. But for whatever reason, you know, the council people send like parking ticket and, you know, he has to pay that parking ticket. So Easter, he's not able to get that thing for the son. Christmas is like, man, I'm really going to try and get this thing for my son. Obviously, the son's disappointed when it's Easter, April. He's like, oh, Dad, you didn't do this. And he's like, you know, he's trying to make things work. December comes and he's like, oh, man, my dad didn't get me this thing for Easter. But December, he'll probably give me double. Yeah. And December is coming and the son is dancing and saying, double. God will give me double. And he's like, you know, I pray. And he's praying. Prayer points. He goes to school, grade 6. Teacher says, John, would you like to lead us in a prayer today? And he says, yes, one prayer. Xbox. And that's all he's thinking. Xbox doesn't come in December. And his dad says, oh, I didn't get this Xbox for you, but let's just take a walk. Let's just talk. Let's take a walk to the park and just chat. Tell me, I want to know how your year has been as my son. Let's, you know, talk together. Sorry, I couldn't get you the Xbox. And the son goes and says, no, I'm not going on any walk with you. In fact, you're not a good father. I mean, Xbox, you didn't give me. And this thing, I'm not going on any walk. I'm going to, you know. You know? How would you describe that? That means that son sees his father as he has a transactional relationship with the father. You give me this, if you don't give me this, you don't answer my prayer, that means nothing. All this you want to spend time with me on a walk, I don't need, that's transactional. Now, am I saying we shouldn't pray to God and expect God to hear us and to help us out? God wants to do that. But when our relationship with God becomes a transactional one, when it's give or take, I give 10% and if it comes back to me shaking over double, and it doesn't come shaking over. Do you understand? It becomes a source of disappointment for us. So the first thing, these guys didn't have that kind of relationship with God. I mean, Psalm 103 verse 7 that we read says that Moses had that relationship with God. But these guys and girls did not. So Moses, whether God gave him the Xbox or not, he was like, well, God's my father and I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to, you know. But these guys did not have that kind of relationship with God. So the first thing is this, what kind of relationship do we want to build with God? Honestly speaking. So when one doesn't have that kind of relationship with God, which we should, idolatry can creep in. Idolatry can creep in. Where something else takes the place of God in the life of that individual and it becomes an idol. So these guys didn't have that kind of relationship. They had just like transactional relationship. You know the interesting thing that also happened? If you look at the same Exodus chapter 32, verses 2 to 5, the second point, that idolatry doesn't stop with you as an individual. If you're a parent, your children would also, apart from the help of God, let me not say your children will also. It's possible that one's children will also become idolatrous. Not all the time, but it's possible. And he says here in Exodus 32, 2 to 5, he says, Aaron answered them, take off the gold and earrings from your wives, your sons, and your daughters. He didn't say parents, aunties, uncles, just give me what you've got. No. He said, no, I do not want idolatry to stop with you. I want your children to become idolatrous as well. So you see, this thing is like a plague. It doesn't stop with one individual. It is seeking even the younger people as well. Yes. So what this means is this. As adults, parents, uncles, or just generally adults, we can transmit idolatry, which is putting every other thing in place of God, to the people around us who we influence. The children, the sons, and their daughters were involved in this business. It wasn't just that. And what does that mean in our modern day context? So one thing that we need to realize is that as parents, uncles, aunties, your nieces, children, they're watching you. They are watching you. So if in this scenario, your child, your aunt, your niece, and all that, they realize that this uncle or auntie or parent who is a believer prioritize everything before God. They're prioritizing their career. They're prioritizing every other thing. When it comes to God, God just gets the crumbs. What that individual is saying to the children is, don't prioritize God. Make your whatever an idol. And maybe the child might be like, well, I want to be an influencer. There's nothing wrong with that. I was talking to someone about that yesterday. I want to become an influencer on YouTube. And I'm going to, and they spend 12, 14 hours creating content, which is not bad, by the way. And the parent now goes, how about God? Why don't you try and, you know, do a relation, you know, read your Bible, get to know God. Like, I don't have time for that. I need to create content. I need to go and play football. I need to make it to the junior league. I don't have time. Why? Because the parent has modeled that God is not really that important. God's important, but God really is not the priority. As one models that. I remember growing up. No, not when I was growing up. With our kids. They're not kids anymore, and I'm not looking in any direction, by the way. Earlier on, I remember, you know, when they were growing up, and there'll be Sundays like this. I'll be like, and again, this is just me personally. I'm not saying, you know, if one does this, it's bad or anything. I'm just saying what my own perspective. And I remember that there were a few Sundays that I was like, you know what? I'm exhausted. I'm super, super exhausted. I'm so tired. I've been going up and down. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Man, I'm not going to church this Sunday. I'm going to switch on, what's the name of that program? I don't remember the name of the program. I'm going to just put my foot up on a Sunday morning, put that program on, go to the fridge, grab ice cream from the fridge, fry some chips or whatever. Is my day off? Why are you laughing? I know you don't know that. It's my day off. I mean, at least I've been doing, I mean, God should understand. And I almost did it. And I remember that, hang on, my son and my son that is 7 years old, I've been telling, you know what? Memorize this Bible thing. My son, if he walks into the living room, and by the way, I'm not saying, don't feel guilty if you do this. I'm just saying, this is my own experience. First, like, oh my goodness, I was planning to do that next Sunday. If you're planning to do that, no problem. I'm just saying, And I was like, I now imagine the scenario where my son walks into the room and my daughter, and they're like, oh, dad, you know, I was a Sunday school teacher. Oh, dad, oh, that lesson you taught in church last week, let's go, it's time to go. And they come, they're all ready to go. And I'm like, oh, guys, excuse me, don't block that telly. If I do it once, okay. If I now do it like every other Sunday, what am I telling them? Don't really prioritize God too much. Don't be too, you know what I mean? But that's just an off example. There's so many other things. Idolatry. placing anything or prioritizing anything in our lives, even if they're good things, before God. So these guys realized that, well, these guys did not have a real relationship with God, a good relationship with Him. The second thing is, idolatry doesn't stop with you. You might be like, it's my life, I can do whatever I want with it. That's true. But just be conscious that your life that you said is yours will influence those around you, whether you realize it or not. For good, or maybe for idolatry. How did they get there? Those are two things. The last thing, how did they get there? God said something to them in the same Exodus chapter 32, verse 7. And He says, I'll reread it again. It says, God said to Moses, this is the New King James Version. It says, go down, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Verse 8, they have turned aside. They have turned aside. When you're turning aside, often it's a gradual process. It's like, you're going in a particular direction and you begin to turn. You begin to turn. It says they've turned aside from the commands that I gave them. So what this is telling us is this. If we you guys know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying, right? I think, you know, there are times I'm having conversations with people. I think I've done it to a few people. And where I start a sentence, I don't finish that sentence. And I say, you get what I'm saying? And they're like, yeah, I haven't said anything. You know, read my mind. So the word I was looking for, I don't know if it's like in the English language, is if we over-busy ourselves. Is there such a word? Over-busy. Overwork. Oh man, that's overwork. Okay, overwork. I think that's a good one. Overwork, yeah, but I'll say over busy yourself. So over busy yourself means you are so overwhelmed with so many things, and you and I do not spend the time we need to spend with God. We begin to turn aside. We begin to turn aside. You begin to turn aside. It's just like maybe you're engaged or you're married, and you don't give time to your relationship as you should. And you're like, well, you're not really intentional about spending time with your spouse or spending time. Then what one might realize is that you begin to just turn aside from them. You begin to turn aside from them. And before you know it, it's like, who is this person? So one has to be intentional. So what am I saying? How do we get that? The first one is where we should ensure we cultivate a non-transactional relationship with God, that we see God as our Father. The second one is to realize that the price of idolatry is steep. It will not end with just the individual. It will infiltrate the people who that person influences. And the third is, it happens gradually. Sometimes when we overbusy ourselves with the affairs of life and we do not intentionally say, okay, I'm going to work on my relationship with God. Do you understand? So what am I saying this morning as I round up now? I'm saying that, look, God has told us as a church, and I believe God is telling every individual, every believer, that in 2026, he wants you to move forward. He wants to go on a journey with you and I and to bring us into fulfillment in the context of his plan and fulfillment in your own context as well. However, as you begin to move forward, just realize that your priorities are very important and very subtle, and that you and I need to watch out for idolatry. Anything that we could fall into to reprioritize what should be God's to that thing. And that thing can be a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing. And that as we note that and as we take these things to heart, then everything that God has spoken concerning you, every plan that God has for you, will come to pass. Will come to pass. Let's rise and pray this morning. Now, the prayer that I'd just like us to pray this morning is kind of like one of asking God to really help us. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they were excited. I don't think they had it in mind that they would get to a place in their life where they would become idolatrous. They were super excited when Moses told them all these things. But they didn't know that they could end up like that. So this morning, I just want us to pray that God, help me. Help me that anything that might become an idol in my life, anything that I might prioritize before and above you, God, help me not to do that. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for your kindness. You said that your word is to show us an example of examples that we can learn from. Father, thank you for caring for us so much. Today, we're just coming open before you and we're saying, God, we need you to help us. We really, 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 really need you to help us. Help us. Anything in our lives that have taken your place, have taken priority over you, Father, this morning we're asking. Help us. Father, we're asking that you will help us. Help us, help us. Father, help us. Father, help us, help us, help us. Father, we ask that you will help us. Our Father and our King, I lift up your people before you. In simplicity, your words has clearly told us what idolatry is. It's just so subtle that it's something that might just creep into our lives. Lord, we're asking that everything that constitutes idolatry in our hearts, or that could be, or that could constitute it in the future, take it away from us, Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus. Your word says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that you know the plans you have for us, plans to give us, to prosper us, to give us hope and a future. Lord, I speak over everyone that is here and for the people that are not even here, that every plan that you have for every individual in this church comes to pass in the name of Jesus. Keep us on the straight and the narrow of your plan. Don't let us stray. This we ask. In the name of Jesus.